All right, let's move on to the next issue, which is the Ike issue. Now, with the Ike issue, the sort of idea I had even before going into it is that the solicit for the issue is something along the lines of, this is the glory that everybody loves to hate. So my impression immediately is that your goal here was to sort of pull the curtain back a bit and maybe try and make him a little bit more relatable or affable. Is that the case?
To some extent, you know, this was a tricky one because I know I have talked about this elsewhere. For me, Ike is one of the characters that I'm most careful in how I handle him, because I tend to find in serialized or episodic fiction that, you know, you'll introduce that sort of rogue element character, and people will gravitate towards them because people love that kind of character. It's fun to have you know to have a fly in the ointment. It's fun to have something coming up the works. And I have always seen in those characters in other stories the sort of natural tendency over time to humanize them, to soften up their edges, to you know, show their nicer side, to bring them into the fold a little bit more. And what generally happens is by the end, there might still be a fair amount of goodwill towards the character, but it's mostly based on the memory of what that character was rather than what they are now. And I had a lot of concern about that with Ike, that if I turned him nice too much, if I gave him too many sympathetic reasons for being the way that he is, you know, you're just not going to be as drawn to him. You're not going to enjoy him as much as a character. And I didn't want to have a character that started out really funny and interesting and you know, be a third or two thirds of the way into the story and have him just be sort of a bland shell of his former self. So the real trick in this issue was that balance between giving us the ability to pull for him in certain situations, or to take his side, or to have some level of empathy for him, but without really taking away the edges of the character, and trying to find that balance was very tricky.
So you don't want people to necessarily love Ike or to see him as this sort of character who was done wrong and now he's acting out, but you don't want anyone to also dislike him, right?
Well, I tend to think, you know, that people generally are a little more complicated than that. You know, that every difficult person that you've ever met, every shitty person that you've ever met, you know, you could probably, if you were watching the movie of their life, find the moments why they became that way. But at the same time, you're not always going to find things that immediately just make you say, oh, well, now it's all okay. And, you know, I'm trying to capture that on the page the best that I can, that, you know, that he's had a complicated life in a lot of ways. And, he's had a lot that has been done to him, but he's also had a lot that he's done, you know, that he alone is responsible for. And so he's, you know, he's a fairly complex character portrait, really. And I didn't want to give the easy way out, you know. I mean, it's this thing where if two thirds of the way through this issue, he just kind of did the right thing and was on his way, he just would have been robbed of so much. Or, you know, if we would have shown in flashbacks like some, you know, something that happened to him that just immediately made you say nothing that this kid does wrong is his fault. You know, that we just would have lost a character. So yeah, it was just tricky finding the right story for him and deciding what to tell at this point in the story that wouldn't cause him to lose.
In reading this, all right, let me start over. We sort of talked about how most of the characters have very rich backstories to them, and obviously we don't see everything right away. And with Casey, even though she's the one that you would assume might have the nicest childhood, there's still elements of her story that are yet to be told that do have a strong influence.
Right.
In the very first issue, the very first time we meet Ike, he's having dinner with his mother, and she lists off a bunch of the bad things that he has done. And you kind of assume that Ike's always been a bastard from reading that, and that's the image that you get in your head. Whereas now we're reading him with Abraham.
Yeah.
And it seems Abraham tells him, you know what to do. We talked about this. We stick to the plan. Now it seems more like Ike is acting out because of this plan. I don't know how to phrase that properly, because of basically this plan.
Well, you know, I mean, one thing that you should maybe keep in mind there is that a lot of the things that Cynthia describes there in that first issue obviously take place in Ike's life before this happens.
Right.
You know, that she sometimes is describing things that he did as a young, you know, at nine. So, you know, whatever it is that makes Ike who he is, you know, it probably wasn't entirely this moment that we see here.
Is that something, without being like too overt about it, do you plan to revisit all these characters' pasts again in future issues?
Yeah. We'll spend more time with each of them. Absolutely. Certainly Ike. He has a big moment here at the beginning, you know, and obviously I can't talk too much about what's happened here, but it's obvious, I think, that it's a pivotal moment in his life, and it's certainly a more sincere and contrite Ike than we're used to seeing.
So with Ike's revealed lineage, and that he is the son of this Abraham character, who we still don't know too much about.
Sure.
With other characters in the book, June, obviously, Zoe, possibly, maybe, it does seem like the knowledge of this school exists. Both in that, you know, someone like Casey, you know, in the first issue, she's saying, like, all these accolades of the school. So people know that the school...
Yeah.
Generally exists, but a character like June knows the bad side of it.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that Ike might also be on that team?
No comment.
All right.
Gotta take a pass on that one. Sorry.
It's a good
question to be asking. Is what exactly does Ike know? When did he learn it? You know, what was driving him, you know, before all this happened?
He has a monologue later when speaking to Jade that feels that Ike probably knows, or at least has some sort of understanding more than the other kids, just because he's so much more willing to play along and extort the school than the others are.
Sure.
But one of the things that I absolutely love about this issue, and this is totally personal, is the shout-out that Multiversity gets in the car at the beginning.
Yep,
which I thought was awesome because I'm a
Well, you know,
narcissist.
the credit for that goes to Joe, who has gotten the art of the Easter egg pretty much down at this point, and he's doing a fantastic job of it. So
There are some absolutely great moments that even I don't think of until after the fact.
Yeah.
Like Superman or Clark Kent and Jimmy Olsen have a
That was a very nice one. That was a very nice one. He's going to have like an annotated version of this himself, like of just all of the many things that he's managed to work into the background.
I know we're chatting with him soon. And awesome. It's going to be a long list, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
But one of the things I tried to get – I did ask Joe about it, and I have his answer, but I do want to pose it to you anyway. When Ike is leaving the police station, it's more apparent if you get to see the uncolored version of the pages – which Joe posted on his Tumblr at one point, but the driver of the car is more visible, and when you take out all of the camera flashes, and the driver looks fairly similar to the driver of the first issue.
No, it is not.
All right.
Yeah.
Figured I'd at least try it a second time. Joe said no as well, but I was like, maybe I'll ask.
No, it's not.
Another thing, this is literally just for clarification. I feel like this is probably one of those elements that you can give clarification on.
Sure.
Ike is Jewish, correct?
That's correct.
And I could tell just from all the yarmulkes at the funeral. We talked earlier about religion and its part in Morning Glories, and obviously Abraham and Isaac is a very important story in the Old Testament. Is Ike's religion in any way, do you feel that this is one of the more defining characteristics about him, or is this just a characteristic about him?
It's certainly something to keep an eye on, say that,
because I don't think you've given religion to any of the characters except for him.
I think you're right. It's certainly something to keep an eye on. Whether or not it's central to the character or anything isn't something that I would want to say, but I think that that's one that we've, by now, by the end of the first year, I feel like we've tipped our hats on that at least enough that most people should I think recognize that that's a part of the story.
It is definitely something I think that's probably one of the more easier to pick up on things in Morning Glories, but by the end of the issue. And this isn't to discuss the final scene, but sure. It really appears that Ike has had a falling out with everybody. Is he still part of the Glory's clique here?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that Ike's done a lot of damage, and we're going to see... very early in 13, the fallout of some of this issue, and it's not going to tell us exactly what's happened, but it's going to give you an idea of where he stands and where he stands with the rest of the kids. You'll get a good idea of that, and that's something that's also important to the third arc.
So he's still definitely going to be a major player in the next arc.
He's got a pretty significant role to play in the third arc. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's definitely gonna have some big moments.
So Ike is 16, correct? All the kids are 16.
All the kids are 16. Mm-hmm.
Here's more of a morality question for you.
Sure.
Do you think that it is a good thing for teachers and staff faculty to be supplying a 16-year-old alcoholing girls?
You know, this reminds me of the Neil Gaiman line about how many murders have you written. This just kills me. I had in the first issue, I had the eyeball popping out of a 16-year-old kid. I had blood pouring down all over him. I had in the seventh issue, I had a 16-year-old girl being brutally stabbed and massacred. And I had two 16-year-old boys being gutted in the eighth issue. And then everybody's asking me if they're having too much sex in the 11th issue. So it's just clearly we have no sense of morality in this book, and clearly we have no regard for what's appropriate for their age. I constantly say, you know, just because the book is about teenagers does not mean it is written for teenagers. I can't help but notice that I'm not getting asked about the wholesale death culture of the book, but the minute a teacher unpops her top button, I've got multiversity morality police all over me.
Well, violence is fine.
right.
I mean, if there is one thing that I learned from watching the South Park movie way back when, it's that violence is okay as long as there's no sex or swearing.
Right. No, I don't think that anything that they're doing are appropriate. But obviously, these are homicidal maniacs. They're not really going to care if he's got a bunch of girls in his room, or they're really not going to care if he's, 16.
Another one of the questions. This I think it's an Easter egg from you, and probably just one of those things you threw in just to be fun. But I remember trying to find a reason for it and coming up bare. The girls that come out of Ike's room, are they named for anybody?
No, they're not named for anybody.
Okay.
They are not.
I kind of guess that, like, maybe you just have, like, you just grabbed three female friends out of your phone book or something and just threw it there.
It can give me a lot of trouble. No. They're just random names.
So, before we move on, and I want to touch on the final scene with you.
But hold on. But wait, I shouldn't let that go. But Miss Darimont, Georgina, is named after my wife. So
you know what?
Subtext into that you want to add. just have a field day with that.
I did know that. Not because I'm a stalker or anything like that. Somebody somewhere pointed it out in a comment response.
Yeah.
So that I did know that one.
Yeah.
But so. There are a lot of characters that are sometimes brought in rather quickly, and one of the things that stuck with me is in issue 6, you reference the movie Diabolique.
Yep.
How the alias is the name of the character from Diabolique. So I'm always sort of subconsciously checking out characters to try and find if they're ever named.
Sure. And sometimes there will definitely be something, but in that particular case, nothing.
Are there any that we've missed talking about from this past couple issues?
I don't think so. You guys are pretty good on that front. So I don't think that you have missed one, actually. If you missed it, I missed it as well.
I'll accept that.
Yeah.
So with the, like I was saying, I don't really want to talk about the final scene because I can't imagine there's anything I can ask you about that you'll give me straight answers for. But what I do think you'll probably give me a straight answer for is, without touching on the next issue at all, each one of these issues sort of seem like mini morality plays, basically. You know, this issue particularly is the best example out of all of them, I think, because you have a character who is both straddling that line from being sympathetic and completely unsympathetic. So when you're constructing all of these issues, is that an element that comes into play? Because obviously morality and ethics do have a huge, you know, it's all hanging over these characters' heads as to where they're trying, or whether they're actively trying to be good or bad or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think that all of these characters have journeys that they're on, and they are, you know, definitely journeys of discovery, and so they all have these sort of lessons to be learned, and these sort of trajectories to be altered, and that's a big part of what this arc is giving you initial glimpses at what those stories are, which isn't to say that now you know all there is to know about those stories. I think it's pretty obvious that you don't at this point, but I think that we started to set up, you know, the backstories and the current dilemmas that are going to inform the sort of, yeah, the thematic arc that those characters are going to be undertaking.
Okay. So, I guess the last question is Abraham alive in issue 12?
You know, the thing that I would say about that is where we pick up in 13, I think that a lot of people are going to be asking what's up on that front, and you might have to wait a little while for an answer, but I think you'll like what the answer is.